Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome everyone to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's kind of been a crazy week in the good martini area. We started on Monday with good news related to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Now, we can at least point out that it wasn't good news for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, but still, to find him in the good martini was a little bit bizarre. Now, on a far less bizarre note, but still weird to find Michael Bloomberg in the top martini. But we like to be fair here, so when the man says something that's actually really good, we want to give him credit for it. And he was at a forum, I think this was just yesterday, where he was asked about Occupy Wall Street. And here's a couple of clips of how Bloomberg really hits the nail on the head, shockingly.
I hear your complaints. Some of them are totally unfounded. It was not the banks that created the mortgage crisis. It was plain and simple Congress who forced everybody to go and to give mortgages to people who were on the cusp.
And he wasn't done yet. He blamed Congress for, first of all, making sure that Congress itself didn't get blamed, and for forcing banks to do the very thing that got him in trouble in the first place.
They were the ones that pushed Fannie and Freddie to make a bunch of loans that were imprudent, if you will. They were the ones that pushed the banks to loan to everybody. And now we want to go vilify the banks because it's one target, it's easy to blame them, and Congress certainly isn't going to blame themselves. At the same time, Congress is now trying to pressure banks to loosen their lending standards to make more loans. This is exactly what the same speech they criticized them for.
Jim, he's been a darling in the mainstream media because he's embraced a whole host of liberal causes, but I know what the reaction's going to be to this one. What do you expect from the top 1%?
I was expecting crickets would be the response to that. And it's one of those things where I remember, you know, John McCain in year 2000 used to, you know, get a ton of attention. He was the media darling, primarily for his stances against the rest of his party, campaign finance reform. And I remember he was a big advocate of the tobacco company settlements. So then I remember in 2000, after the general election, you know, George W. Bush is the Republican nominee, and John McCain, media darling, started going after Al Gore. And for all of, you know, McCain's irritation with George W. Bush, he certainly had plenty of bones to pick with Al Gore, and no one reported on them. No one paid attention. And it was kind of just, you know, illustrative of when a person who is a centrist Republican or liberal Republican or rhino or whatever you want to call them criticizes Republicans, this is what makes them the media's favorite Republican. When those same figures turn on the Democrats and say, look, you know, here's the flaws of liberalism, all of a sudden the media loses all interest in them. And it's one of those things where, you know, Bloomberg is cited as this great centrist expert who's results oriented and non-ideological, blah, 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 blah. And then once he does this and he says, look, you know, you shouldn't be blaming the banks. Congress set the table for all this. You and I are talking about it. And I think you and I talk about it because it kind of jumps out at us. Hey, this is Bloomberg, who's the, you know, the scourge of trans fats and the Van Helsing against sodium and all these other kind of ridiculous stances he makes. But nonetheless, for some reason, he can absolutely go point out something that you and I would concur with, and suddenly there'll be absolutely no coverage of this whatsoever. So, you know, the wisdom of a centrist or you know, liberal Republican or whoever you want to characterize Bloomberg is completely a one-way street. Again, we're kind of reaching for our good martini, but, you know, kudos to Bloomberg for calling it as he sees it and being able to say something that risks his glowing press coverage.
Yeah, and he actually said the right thing, which should give him more credence given the fact that the thing he's got the most credibility in should be the business world. So, Jim, we've talked a lot about Herman Cain this week, and we'll talk about him again in our third martini. But the thing that Cain's been criticized for, as well as his campaign staff to one degree or another, is that the story has been inconsistent this week. So you would expect the sitting president of the United States to be remarkably consistent on how he characterizes a variety of issues. Well, the president did a series of interviews yesterday with local television reporters from cities across the country. Here's what he had to say to WCCO. This is out of Minneapolis, and what we hear at the beginning here is the reporter prefacing the question she asked the president.
When I finally did have a chance to talk to President Obama one-on-one, I asked him, at what point does the economy become his fault and not his predecessor's?
It's always my responsibility. I'm less interested in allocating blame.
Two things there. First of all, I think she's the first person that's ever actually asked him that directly. Secondly, the point there that he made is he doesn't want to allocate blame. It's not important about blame. What's important is getting people back to work. Well, a couple alphabetical states later, Nebraska was in the room interviewing the president, and the question had to do with people are just really frustrated that things aren't happening in Washington. And here's what the president said.
People are right to be frustrated. You know, we've seen a Congress that is deadlocked. I have to say that I've done everything I could to try to reach out to the Republicans in Congress.
So I'm not going to place any blame here, Jim, but I've done everything that I can, and clearly if there's still a problem, it's the other side.
President, I inherited all this, doesn't want to play the blame game anymore. For 3 years, all he's done is said, I inherited this, it's Bush's fault, Bush is, you know, oh, such a mess, oh, what am I supposed to do, oh, you know. And now, here we are, it's now 3 years, Election Day will be basically 1 year from today. All of a sudden, we have to stop playing the blame game. All of a sudden, look whose fault it is, I'm not, you know, blah, blah, blah. I also found kind of interesting that, look, in many of our conversations, we've noted that the fundamental question for every incumbent is, are you better off than you are 4 years ago? And if you can't say yes, life is hard for an incumbent. So in this interview, at one point, Obama says, well, if we hadn't done everything we did, life, things would not be better, which is not the question. The question you ask is a hard one for me to answer in an honest way or plausible way that makes people like me. So I will answer a completely different question and hope that no one notices the difference. I noted this on the blog earlier today, and many, many readers are saying, hey, you know, if we had not done what Obama said we should do, we'd probably be in much better shape. So no, Mr. President, you've made it worse, to use the Peggy Noonan line. I think we will see Obama continue to try out variations of this of answers to this question, because I don't think he's really hit on a really good answer to it. There's a slight uptick in his Quinnipiac poll today, but some people are saying that might just be a shift in the sample. Well, eventually it's going to be, Mr. President, are the American people better off now than they were 4 years ago? At some point I can see him making the response, well, define better. Because if you define it broadly enough, you know, then maybe they are, you know.
Oh, my word. Okay.
Yay team, right?
Exactly. If that's what you're running on, I'm starting to like our chances better and better, even though...
Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
On to martini number three now. And like I said, spent a lot of time talking about Herman Cain. It's been a rough week for Herman Cain, and we don't mean to pile on, but we got to talk about what's going on. I personally like Herman Cain a lot. If I had to vote today, I don't know that I actually would, given this crop, but he'd be on the short list probably. And so Herman Cain is happened to be in Washington when this whole political story broke, and he's making the rounds, doing a lot of television interviews, and one of them happened to be with Judy Woodruff on the PBS NewsHour. And fortunately for Cain, this story will probably get buried by the ongoing chatter about the sexual harassment allegations. But late in the interview, Judy Woodruff asked him about whether he considered China a military threat. And here's how Cain summed up his answer later in his response.
So, yes, they're a military threat. They've indicated that they're trying to develop nuclear capability, and they want to develop more aircraft carriers like we have. So, yes, we have to consider them a military threat.
Obviously, the response is, does Herman Cain realize that China's already a nuclear power and has that capability, or is he just not sure what's going on here? And we talked, I guess it was last week, I think, Jim, maybe a little bit earlier than that, about how Mitt Romney, when it came to the Ohio ballot issues, reinforced a stereotype, whether it's fair or not, and in a lot of ways it is fair, that he'll take whatever position on the issue suits him at the moment. Well, Herman Cain, we've seen this on Right of Return. We saw him really bobble a really easy question about releasing everyone at Gitmo for a U.S. soldier, and now potentially this issue on China as well. If he keeps making more of these, it's going to reinforce a narrative that's already out there that foreign policy is something he's got a really steep learning curve on.
Yeah, there was a good discussion of this over at Ace of Spades. And so there's some people are saying, well, maybe he meant that China is trying to develop nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. Because right in that answer, he mentions nuclear, and then he mentions aircraft carriers, you know, about a half sentence later. And so apparently there are some reports that China wants to do this. But China also wants to develop aircraft carriers, just general aircraft carriers. They want to be able to project power more effectively. So that's a kind of a thin hair of credibility of a slightly more plausible argument. I'd note that Judy Woodruff does not jump up and say, what? So maybe Judy Woodruff isn't clear on China's nuclear capability. We will see. But this is, you know, again, not terribly reassuring. Perhaps, you know, it's just a slip of the tongue. Perhaps, it, you know, he knows this stuff very well and he just didn't come across very well. Since this, alleged sexual harassment claim story began, apparently Herman Cain's fundraising has been fantastic. He still leads the polls in Iowa and a couple other places. So in a way, this scandal is one of the best things that ever happened to him. And so with this, it's also distracting from, you know, any possibility that he didn't really know which countries had nuclear weapons and which didn't. So in a way, fantastic. On the other hand, I think if Herman Cain could ace all of these interviews, everyone would be better. And I don't think, you know, people are going to say, oh, this is the media out to get him. I don't think asking is China a military threat is a gotcha question. You know, I don't think that's an outlandish attempt. This is not, you know, asking George W. Bush to name the leader of Pakistan back when Pakistan was much less in the news. But, you know, my sense is that, you know, folks who like Herman Cain will continue to like Herman Cain, and folks who don't like him will continue to not like him. We'll see if he retains his front-runner status or if at some point all this begins to catch up with him.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll keep talking about it, too. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.